Thursday night. I don't know how many houses are up Joe's. I'm turning your Bibles tonight to John chapter 8. And verse 32, we covered that last time, but we need to read it to get the context. And the title of the message tonight is The Light Exposing Darkness. John 8 and verse 32, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Well, after Jesus had proclaimed himself as the true light of the world and then condemned the Jews for their stubborn unbelief, he now exposes the darkness and the depravity of their sinful nature. Union to Jesus Christ, faith in His work and belief on Him and His truth is the only source of true spiritual liberty. But the natural man does not understand the principles of freedom. Lost folks think that they're free when they can do whatever they want, when they can sin all they please. That's bondage. It's not the way God thinks. Real freedom is in Christ. Real freedom is the ability to serve Him, to love Him, to bring forth fruit unto Him. Now, when Jesus explained the bounds of true Christian liberty to these unbelieving Jews, they had no idea what He was talking about. And as always, they responded to His spiritual discourse in a fleshly and carnal manner. He's talking about spiritual liberty, and they're claiming that they're the physical seed of Abraham and never in bondage to any man. So Jesus proceeds to expose their spiritual darkness and the cause of it. And I mean, when we get on into this chapter, He gets right next to them. He says that they were of their father, the devil. He did not spare them at all. You see, they were claiming that God was their spiritual father and that Abraham was their physical father, but Jesus tells them later on in this chapter that their real father is the devil himself. Their deception and their murderous designs only prove that the Savior was right. Here He is talking about truth, about liberty, about light, about freedom, about grace through Him. And all the while, they're thinking of ways that they can discredit Him and even kill Him. And he exposes them. He said, You're of your father, the devil. I know what your thoughts are. I know what your motives are. I know where you're going with this. The reason why the Jews wanted to see Jesus put to death is because they were in bondage to Satan. And as His willing servants, they were desirous of carrying out His will. And what Jesus said directly to the unbelieving Jews on this occasion may be equally applied to all unregenerate men who dwell in the darkness of human depravity and who are the willing bond slaves of Satan. That's a hard saying in our politically correct world. That was my condition at one time. I was by nature a child of wrath, even as others. So I know whereof I speak. Now in verses 33 through 36, he talks about bondage and liberty. After Jesus had explained what true liberty is bound up in by being a follower of Jesus, of abiding in His Word, the Jews objected to His saying. Verse 33, they answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" You know, sinners hate to be told what they are in the sight of a holy God. They also hate to be told the truth about the spiritual bondage that they're in. Rather than believing this revelation from God manifest in the flesh, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, rather than taking Him at His word and believing that He is right and they are wrong, the Jews strongly objected by saying, "We're descendants of Abraham, and we've never been under bondage to any man." Well, they were lying. Because they had been in bondage. They were in bondage at that moment. Not just in sin, but under the bondage of the Roman Empire. But they displayed their spiritual ignorance in two ways. First, they denied that they were under the dominion of sin and in need of spiritual freedom through Christ. This is the malady, the disease of every natural man who does not see his or her need of trusting Jesus Christ. They think they're all right. They think they're free. They think there's no consequences eternally for their sins. Jesus corrected that. He told him, "You, in order to have real freedom, you must know me, believe on me, abide in my word, and walk in my truth." So what they were doing was displaying wicked self-righteousness. The curse of every lost sinner who thinks that he's better than he really is. They wouldn't acknowledge their sin, and they put up their defense, we're the descendants of Abraham. Secondly, they were mistaken concerning the history of Abraham, the physical father of the Jewish race. Their proud boast that Abraham was never in bondage was wholly unfounded. Abraham's seed had to be delivered from the cruel bondage of Egypt. Later, from the bondage of the Canaanites, as detailed in the book of Judges, and finally, from Babylonian captivity. So their descendants were indeed in bondage, in captivity on several occasions. And right now, in this setting, the Jews objected, when they were objecting to the sayings of Jesus, they were under the bondage of the Roman Empire. Here's the horrible thing about sin. When people are in it and they're in that darkness, even when they're told the truth, they don't believe it. They don't listen. The objection of the Jews to the words of Christ proved just how unwilling the natural man, the unsaved man, is to accept the plain truth about himself. The condition of the natural man is far worse than he wants to admit. Not only is he dwelling in the darkness of his own depravity and sin, but he's also under the dominion of Satan, being completely dominated by the will of the devil and the power of sin. Who wants to admit that they're under the power of sin and the dominion of the god of this world, Satan? Nobody wants to admit that. People won't raise their hand to that. the natural man has too much pride. When you tell a sinner the truth about his condition, it stirs up the natural hostility within him, causing him to deny what God's Word says about him. That's what they were doing. Jesus confronted them with the truth. Here's the light, exposing their darkness, revealing their sin, and they deflect. And they make excuses. And they don't believe His Word. A.W. Pink said this, This is hot. He said, "Tell the sinner that there's no good thing in him, and he will not believe you. But tell him that he's completely the slave of sin and the captive of Satan, that he cannot think a godly thought of himself, that he cannot receive God's truth in and of himself, that he cannot believe, that he cannot please God, that he cannot come to Christ," and he gives verses for every one of those. John 12:39, Romans 8:8, John 6:44, and he will indignantly deny your assertions. And so it was in the passage before us. Jesus answered them, verse 34. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Wow. Covers every one of us, doesn't it? He responds to the Jews' objection by explaining to them that even though they were the physical descendants of the favored seed of Abraham, they were not an exception to the rule of sin and depravity. Every natural man willingly follows the habitual course of sin. We're born in sin, and we participate in it most willingly. Unless God intervenes, unless God changes our heart, gives us the new birth, gives us grace to believe, men are captivated. They're enslaved. They're led by their sin. Sin is his daily practice. In fact, if you're unbelieving, you do nothing but sin. You ever thought about that verse that says the plowing of the wicked is sin? There is nothing wrong with plowing. But it's the man who's doing it. He's a sinner. He's in unbelief. So even a task that is necessary to bring forth a garden and bring forth produce, even though he's doing something necessary, he is sin. So he affects everything he does. Because every man is conceived in sin and born with a totally depraved nature, his entire life is marked by an unbroken course of sin. It's true of everybody. In fact, it's true of you even though you're saved by the grace of God. It's why we get convicted, why we get troubled, why we feel burdened, why we feel the heat of the accuser against us. When he says, you say that you're saved and you let that thought run through your mind? Sin is a horrible thing. It has such a damning influence. The deplorable condition of the captive sinner is described this way in 2 Peter 2:14. Having eyes full of adultery, and listen to this phrase, and cannot cease from sin. That is a great comment on what Jesus said here. When he said, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Peter said, "Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray." They're enslaved. The sinner's entire being is polluted by iniquity. And that's why he cannot produce in himself even one spiritual desire or anything that would please God. That's why after he talks about the carnal mind in Romans 8, Paul says, "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Now, Jesus stated a truth that is completely the opposite of how carnal men think. The natural man thinks that true freedom consists of fulfilling his desires, doing as he pleases, fulfilling his sinful lusts. Jesus makes it clear that what men think is freedom is in reality bondage. And again, it's that same old principle established in the Old Testament, that God's ways are high above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And our ways are not His ways. You see, the natural man reasons that in order to come to Christ, he must forego his freedom. I was talking to a good friend at Thursday night visitation, and I know this is in his mind. I got to give up so much if I'm going to really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he doesn't understand that he's in the bondage. And the real freedom comes when God saves you and rids you of your sin, your guilt, your condemnation, and sets you free to serve Him. Everything changes. See, the lost person doesn't understand. He looks at Christianity as a life of restrictions. He doesn't understand that true freedom consists in the ability to practice righteousness and refrain from sin. He doesn't understand that liberty consists of a life lived for the glory of God rather than the bondage of sin and self-fulfillment. Those who are outside of Christ are the ones who are in reality the bond of iniquity. As Acts 8:33 says. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." It's like Paul is commenting on what Jesus revealed. Jesus, in essence, declared that the only way the servant of sin could be freed from sin's bondage was through the power of the eternal Son of God. He says in verse 35, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Jesus himself declared that the nature of His mission as the Messiah, He said in Luke 4:18, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. The Lord Jesus alone frees the believing sinner from the penalty of the law, from the wrath of God, the dominion of Satan, and the power of sin. To know Christ as Lord and Savior is what true liberty is all about. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, you don't know real freedom. You're still bound in the shackles of sin and depravity. When your life ends, if you're in that condition, your bondage will not end. You'll spend an eternity in the lake of fire with no hope of ever being free. Now, verse 37. Jesus said, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. So look at it. Out of one side of their mouth, they're saying, we're the spiritual ones. We're the free ones. We're the descendants of Abraham. All the while, they're conspiring to kill, to literally murder the Messiah. In this verse, Jesus acknowledges that the Jews were in truth the physical descendants of Abraham, but objects to their inherent desire to have him killed. The very fact that they had murderous designs in their heart proved that they were not the children of God. They may have been linked by way of physical lineage to Abraham, but they were definitely not God's spiritual children. And to further prove His point, Jesus states the primary difference between a child of God and the child of the devil. Those who are not of God's spiritual lineage refuse to hear God's word. But ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. You see, they don't allow God's word entrance into their hearts. But a true child of God receives with meekness the engrafted word. James 1:21. He endeavors to hide the word in his heart, Psalm 119:11. Regards the word of God as a divine rule of conduct to follow and obey, Psalm 119 and verse 1. The unregenerate man does not honor, obey, or follow the word of the living God. He rejects it and will not allow it to have any place in his heart, his home, or his life. The truth of the Word is spiritual in nature, so the natural man, having no taste or desire for spiritual things, will not receive it. Jesus said, my Word has no place in you. By way of contrast, every true child of God should be identified by the testimony of the Thessalonian believers. Paul said this about them, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That's the difference. You receive the word, it's living proof that you know the word, Jesus Christ. But he said, my word has no place in you. You're desiring to kill me. We'll have to stop there tonight. We'll pick up next week in verse 38. Let's all stand.